All right, so today I'm going to continue our series called At One Life You Will Find. And I started this last week. And in this series, we are talking about the things that you see on the wall in our lobby, things that are unique about One Life Church, things that we care about. And we're having a conversation about what is the church and why does it matter and what does it mean for us? The topic that we're going to talk about today is really important to me, really dear to me, for two reasons, two different seasons in my life that kind of have a common denominator. So let me tell you about the first season. The first season is kind of the first few years of my life. And when I look back at the first few years of my life, I have this image in my mind of kind of a Mount Rushmore of faces, people who invested in me and taught me to follow Jesus. So I've named some of these before, but people like Stella Zucca, who was my Sunday school teacher, and she taught me how to love the written word of God, and she taught me how to memorize the written word of God, to write the word of God on my heart. People like my middle school youth minister, Gary Baker, who really showed me that it's not just about a program at the church, but it looks like inviting people into your life. And Gary invited me into his life, and he cared about the things that I cared about. Another set of faces on that Mount Rushmore when I think about is my parents. My parents really laid a strong foundation for me. They showed me faith in action. They taught me how to be generous. They taught me how to serve the church in every season, not just in good seasons, not just in seasons that were not busy, but literally in every season. There is not a season of my childhood that does not include my parents serving the church. Another set of faces on that Mount Rushmore are my four grandparents. The church that my family grew up at in the middle of Indiana, their fingerprints are literally on every wall of that church. They helped build that church building with their hands. And they showed me what it looks like to literally build the church, but also build the church in leadership and sacrifice and service. And so when I look at my younger years, I see a Mount Rushmore of faces that invested in me and laid a foundation for me and showed me how to follow Jesus. But the other reason that this is really important to me, this topic today, is because when I went to high school and then into college and even into becoming a young adult in ministry, I don't really have a Mount Rushmore of faces. I would describe that more as a season of wilderness when it comes to people investing in my faith. I cannot name a single person through high school and college and into my young adult years that invested in me intentionally over a long period of time. I don't see a face. I see people that were kind of one-offs. I see people that preached, and I heard a lot of sermons. I went to a lot of Bible studies. I went to every program there was. I did all the things, but I cannot see a face of someone who intentionally invested in me over the long haul. And so for these two reasons, my younger years of having this Mount Rushmore of faces that invested in me and laid a foundation for me, and then that season of not having really someone that walked alongside of me, this is why today's topic is so important. And here's the topic that we're going to talk about. At One Life, you will find that kids are engaged in the life of this church. At One Life, you will find that kids are engaged in every part of this church family. And I need you to hear this. I need you to hear this, and I need to, if you need to tattoo it on your forehead, that'd be great. We will never apologize that we as One Life Church will always prioritize the next generation. We will never apologize for that. We are going to make the next generation a priority, whether that's our babies, whenever we bring them up on stage and we pray over them and we pray over their families, and we dedicate them to the Lord, or if that's our walker crawler room and they're in there learning to have fun at church and that they are safe at church, or if that's our runner room where they are learning about the gospel for maybe the first time as they're reading books about how Jesus loves them, or if that's our racer room where they're learning what it means to have faith in Jesus and follow Jesus and say yes to Jesus, or if that's our fourth and fifth grade huddle room where they're learning to what it means to follow Jesus in their daily lives, or if that's our student life huddle and our student life ministry where they are learning to be disciples of Jesus and to go and be on mission for him, we are going to make them a priority. We are going to make them a priority. They are the church of today. They are not the church of tomorrow. They are the church of today, and we are going to invest our resources and our time and our energy and our effort into the next generation. We will always do our very best, always do our very best to have the heart of Jesus when it comes to the next generation. Now, you might ask, how do you know what the heart of Jesus is for the next generation? Well, we don't have to look any further than Matthew 19. So if you have your Bible or if you have your phone, you could turn to Matthew 19. It'll also be on the screens. And it says this. It says, one day some parents brought their children to Jesus and checked them in. It didn't say that, sorry. But listen, so he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. How cool is that? That's pretty cool. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. That's called the art of missing the mark. All right? That's a big dum-dum moment for the disciples. But Jesus, everybody say, but Jesus. Oh, I love that. When the Bible says that, just get ready. Because Jesus is gonna like shift our paradigm. See, our paradigm is like, kids are kind of annoying. They're kind of a pain in the butt. We need our adult time. So let's put them over there with the people that'll keep them alive for a few minutes. But Jesus, that's not Jesus's perspective on kids in the next generation. Here's Jesus's perspective. Says, but Jesus said, let the children come to me and don't stop them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. Will you pray with me? God, thank you for your written word. Thank you that we have it at our fingertips. Thank you that it is alive. It's fresh. It's full of your breath, your living breath. And every time we open its pages, you breathe all over us. You speak to us. And so I pray that this morning, you would give us open ears to hear your voice, to hear what you have for each one of us. I pray that you'd give us open eyes to see things the way that you see them, to see the next generation the way that you see them. And I pray that you would give us open hearts, courageous hearts, that would say yes to you and all that you are calling us to. In the name of your son, Jesus, that we pray. Amen and amen. Let the children come to me. Don't stop them. Let the children come to me. Don't stop them. Investing in the next generation is one of the greatest callings and responsibilities that we have as the church. It may be the greatest responsibility that we have as the church. Is to pass our faith on to the next generation. And that is because they are not the church of tomorrow. They are the church of today. They are the church of right now. And this is why it is so important that we prioritize the next generation in everything we do. It's important because they are the now. They are the today. If we wait until they're 18 or 25 or 35 when they have kids and then pour our resources and our energy into them, it is going to be too late. But they are the church of now, of today, and we're going to pour everything we have into them so that they can know Jesus and follow him. When we engage kids in the life of the church, when we invest in them, here's what we're doing. We're equipping them to grow in their relationship with Christ. We're teaching them that Christ loves them and meets them right where they are. We're teaching them that they have a part of what Jesus is doing. We're helping them discover their purpose. And we communicate to them that they are active participants in God's mission right now. We don't just say that kids are engaged in the life of our church because it's a cute mantra. Instead, we engage kids in the life of the church so that we can pass our faith in Jesus on to them. Now, how do we do that? That's what we're going to talk about for the rest of our time. I'm going to give you three things that we do right now to pass our faith on to the next generation. And I'm going to tell you these three things that we're doing, but also I'm going to invite you to be a part of this, to be an active participant in this. So the first thing that we do to pass our faith in Jesus on to the next generation is we do that through intentionally teaching them the written word of God. Intentionally teaching them the written word of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses says this. He says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." What Moses is saying is, he's saying, your kids aren't just going to wake up someday and know what they need to know about who God is. They're only going to know that when you make it a priority. When you teach them, when you sit down with the written word of God and you read it alongside of them, here's what you're not going to find at One Life. You're not going to find a church where you can drop your kids off and we'll do all the discipling for you. Not going to happen, because you are the primary discipler of your children. What you're also not going to find is where we say it's only the people that have kids, and if you don't have kids, this isn't your responsibility. It is all of our responsibility to pass on our faith to the next generation. We all have a part to play in this, to teach them to love the written word of God, to write it on their hearts, and to teach them how to make it the foundation that they stand on. Listen, my friends, we have a lot of great resources and tools, wonderful things in the 21st century to help your kids walk through hard times. But let me tell you what I believe. I believe there is nothing like giving your kids the written word of God, because it will never change. Resources and tools will change. They'll shift and move over time. But the written word of God is what our children need. They need it. As the world is changing so quickly, as they are experiencing so many things faster than we've ever experienced them, they need something that is stable, that will not change. And that is the written word of God. Listen to what the psalmist writes in Psalm 78. He says, "Oh, my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I'm saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past. Stories we have heard and known, stories that our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders." That's what we're going to do. We're going to tell our kids at every age, whether it's the walker crawler room, the runner room, the racer room, fourth and fifth grade huddle, the student life huddle, wherever we are, whenever we're walking along the road, whenever we're walking alongside them, we are going to tell them about who God is and what God has done in the world and what he wants to do in their lives. We're going to give them a taste. We're going to give them a taste, hoping that they will have a hunger and thirst for more of who God is. Now, teaching the next generation, this requires some hard work. It requires some elbow grease, my friends. It is not for the weak, all right? It requires some effort. It requires time and patience and intentionality, because it doesn't happen by accident. You don't wake up someday and boom, all of a sudden your kids have a hunger and thirst for God's written word. It doesn't happen that way. It is only when we are intentional and put our effort, our blood, sweat, and tears into it. So let me speak to the parents in the room. Parents, you have a responsibility to share the written word of God daily with your kids, not just on Sundays. You have that responsibility as a parent. Teach them to walk through life's challenges through the lens of Scripture. You can do that if you've got little ones, using the Jesus Storybook Bible. If you need a copy of that, if you've never even heard of it and you don't have a copy of it, find me afterwards. I'll order it for you. Amazon, it'll bring it to your front door in 2 days. Thank you, Amazon. I will order you as many copies as you need them, but you can sit down with your little ones through elementary school and read the stories over and over and over again and simply ask them, what does this story teach us about who God is? And that question is not going to surprise them, because they've heard it in every one of our environments. And you will get to listen to them and help them see who God is. You don't need to have all the answers, I promise you. You don't need to have any answers. You just need to be intentional and give them time so that they will have a hunger and thirst for God's written word. And let me speak to everyone. All of us have this responsibility to help the next generation love God and follow him with everything that they are. And so my challenge to you, every single one of you, is at some point in the next year to serve in one of our kids' life environments, to serve in one of our next gen environments. You're like, whoa, 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 I already serve on another team. Cool, keep doing that. And then one time, go in and sit in one of our next gen environments and teach them about who God is. If you're like, I don't know, I can do that on Sunday. Cool, we do summer jam in the summer. And pretty soon, Nicole's gonna start signups, and you need to sign up for it so that you can teach the next generation to love God's written word, to teach them that God loves them. They're only going to learn that when we're all playing our part. So all of us can be a part of this. No matter if we have kids or we don't have kids, we all get to be a part of this thing. So the first thing we're gonna do to pass on our faith in Jesus to our next generation is we're gonna do that by teaching them the written word of God. The second thing that we're gonna do is we're gonna do that through setting an example that they can follow. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. The next generation doesn't just need more sermons, Bible studies, or more church programs. My generation had all the sermons, all the Bible studies, and all the church programs we could ever want. But there are many of my friends who grew up in the church who have now walked away. And that is because we need more than just Bible studies and sermons and church programs. What we need are living examples to follow and imitate. We need someone to watch. As Marion Wright Edelman once said, you can't be what you can't see. Our kids can't become followers of Jesus unless they see it in the people around them. Children and young people, the next generation, they're watching us. They're watching how we live. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. It doesn't mean that at all, because in our faith, we believe that we are imperfect. And when we're not perfect, we confess our imperfections to Jesus, and he forgives us, he sanctifies us, he transforms us into his likeness. Amen? So you don't have to be perfect for them to watch you. You just have to follow Jesus in everything that you do. And as you do that, they are going to watch you, and they're going to model their life after yours. So do our actions reflect the faith that we profess? When our next generation looks at us, do they see the fruits of the Spirit in our lives? Do they see more patience and love? Do they see self-control and gentleness and kindness and goodness? Do they see us practicing hospitality? They see us inviting people into our homes and to our kitchen tables. They see us practicing generosity. I think about this in my childhood. The way I learned how to tithe to the church was watching my mom write a check every Sunday. Every Sunday, I would watch her. I would sit with her. She would write the check, and she would put it in the offering plate. Now, we don't do that in the 21st century. My mom still thinks we should, but we don't. So it's a little bit more difficult. So, but still, our kids, the way they're going to learn to be generous is by watching us be generous. It's not about an amount. It's not like, oh man, mom and dad, they gave $1,000. No, if you can give $5, your kids watch you be generous. And as they watch you be generous, guess what? They are going to become more generous because they're watching you. What do they see us prioritize? How do they see us spending our time? You know, I hear this a lot around the church, and it sounds something like this. It says, I'm just not going to make my kids go to church. I'm just not going to make my kids go to church. And I understand that, because some of us, we have some like, you know, hurt from, you know, being made to go to church. But let me, if I could, so gently push back, okay? Think about it this way. Do you make your kids go to school in the morning? The answer is yes, I hope. Do you make your kids eat? Yes, I hope so, or somebody's gonna come visit your home. So yes, you do that. Do you make your kids wear clothes? That's good. Okay, if your kids play on a sports team or they do a program outside of school or with school, do you make them finish out the season even when it's hard? Yeah, I hope you do. That's building something in them. Those things are all fine, wonderful, good. But can I tell you something? Their eternity, their relationship with Jesus is so much more important than all of that. Would you agree? And so if we're going to make our kids go to school, which you should, if we're going to make them do these things, we don't have any problem making them do these things. But for some reason, when it comes to the church, we're like, oh, I don't know. It needs to be their decision. No. Let me give you an example. When my son was turning 16 this past year and he was about to get his license, he was doing that thing that kids do, that teenagers do, where they're kind of like trying to figure out where the boundaries are. They're pushing on the boundaries a little bit. So he one day, he says, hey, when I get my license, that means that I don't have to go to church all the time, right? No. That is not what that means. No, sir. Well, but I mean, I'll have my license. No. Absolutely not. And let me tell you something. My son loves this place. If you don't think so, just watch how many kids are hanging off his arms and legs after church. He loves this place, but he was trying to figure out where the boundaries were. And I was communicating to him as his father, as his parent, here are the guardrails that I'm giving you. As long as you live under my roof, you're going to see your mom and I prioritize Jesus and prioritize the church. And you are going to do that alongside of us. Now, when you're 18 or 25 or 35, you get to do whatever it is you want. But right now, my responsibility in your life is to help you make this a priority. And I'm going to do that. Just like I make them go to school and do their school and eat and all those things, I'm going to make them do this because there's nothing more important than their relationship with Jesus. There is nothing more important. So they need to see us prioritize that. I'm convinced of this. If you prioritize your relationship with Jesus, if you prioritize the church, they will follow suit. But when you don't, they're going to prioritize the same things that you prioritize. If you don't believe that to be true, just watch how your kids act with phones. It's kind of scary. They look exactly like you. Do they not? Sometimes with fake phones, and you're like, what in the world? Where'd they see that? Just look in the mirror. They are going to look like you. They're going to prioritize and make time for the things that you prioritize and make time for. There's this haunting verse in the book of Judges. Judges chapter 2, verse 10, it says, after that whole generation had been gathered up to their ancestors, aka they all died, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Do you know how that happens? It happens when one generation does not pass their faith on to the next generation. That doesn't happen by accident. And my friends, we are living in a generation where our kids are living in a culture and a context that is less churched than ever before. It is not just something that everyone does. And so we are a generation away from looking around and that being a smaller percentage. And the only way that changes is when we, the church, prioritize Jesus and prioritize his church so that the next generation can follow our example. The third way that we're going to pass our faith in Jesus on to the next generation is by creating opportunities for them to participate in God's work. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, the Apostle Paul says to a very young Timothy, his apprentice, he says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but I want you to set an example for the other believers in your speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. Paul was saying to this young Timothy, you have an opportunity to participate in what God is doing. You have an opportunity to lead the church, no matter how young you are. And this next generation that's running through our halls right now, They thrive when we empower them, when we trust them with responsibility, when we give them opportunities to participate in God's work, when we recognize their potential and we encourage them to use the gifts that God has created them with. I have so many pictures in my mind of the ways that this church has done that. I have pictures of our middle school and high school kids helping serve communion when we pass trays on a Sunday morning, and them getting to be a part of what God is doing in the table that he has set for us. I have a picture of new kids, new families walking into our environments, and other kids practicing hospitality just as they've seen our adults practice hospitality in our lobby and outside. I have pictures of the spiritual conversations that are happening right now in our environments as their huddle leaders are asking them to name their inner experience and what God is doing in them. It's crazy. They're learning to do this. They're learning to hear God and to speak it out loud and to have spiritual conversations just like we do in here. And I have this thing in my heart that I want our kids to start inviting their friends to this place. Because most of their friends, unlike generations before, most of their friends do not know Jesus. They are surrounded by people that don't know Jesus, but they need Jesus. And so I want to challenge you to encourage your kids to invite those kids into your home. Make your home a hub of all the kids. Because your home is filled with Jesus. And your kids' friends need Jesus. Tell them, invite them over for dinner. Become the bus driver on Sunday morning. When your kids are like, I want to invite my friends. Yes. And just drive around and pick up like 5 or 6. Wear a bus driver hat, the whole thing. And just drive around picking up kids. And let's just keep adding to the number of kids that are here. I got another way that you can show your kids how they can participate in God's work. I'm going to put a QR code up on the screen. We have a food pantry in our parking lot. And this food pantry in our parking lot is used multiple times a day by people who don't have enough to feed their families. And so we need people to fill that food pantry throughout the week. And my challenge to you as a family is to do this together. Invite your kids to be a part of this. Invite them to set a budget. Invite them to go grocery shopping with you. Invite them to come here and fill the food pantry. If you don't have kids, find a family that does have kids and come with them and be a part of it. Take pictures and celebrate the ways that your kids get to be a part of what God is doing. That is a great opportunity for you to give them a way to participate in God's work in the world. All right, let me give you three practical steps to start this stuff today, and then we'll be done. Number one, if you are a parent, start reading God's word with your kids. Jesus' Storybook Bible is a great way to start. And also pray for your kids by name. A couple months ago in my 242 group, Carter said that he had been convicted to start praying for his family by name. And then it became a thing in my 242 group where we all were saying, hey, I want to do that too. I want to pray for my wife by name. I want to pray for my kids by name. And so I've been doing that. And it's incredible what happens when you pray for your kids by name. I know you're like, oh, I pray for my family. Pray for them by name. Say their name to the Father. Speak their name on a daily basis. So that's a practical way you could start doing this today, to pass your faith on to them. Number two, for all of us, make space for the next generation. Make space for meaningful conversations. Know them by name. When you're going down the hallway and one of them runs between your legs, just stop them and be like, hey, I don't think I know your name. And ask them their name and watch their eyes be like, whoa, that's crazy. It's amazing what happens when you know their name and call them by name. Stop and get down on their level and ask them how they're doing. When they tell you that they have a baseball game next week, ask them the next week how their baseball game went and watch it blow their mind, because you're communicating that you care for them. If you're looking to maybe mentor a couple kids, our middle school and high school kids would be a great place for you to start. So just come find me and say, I'd love to mentor a couple middle schoolers. You can pick them up, take them to Taco Bell, read the Word of God with them, ask them how their life's doing. We would love for you to do that. Those are ways that you can make space for the next generation. And finally, let's pray for them. Pray for them by name. On the way in, you got a piece of paper that's got a name of a kid that belongs to our church. If you're new this morning, you probably didn't get one, but if you want one, there are a few left on the Bible rack right outside the door. But if you look at that piece of paper, it's got a name of a kid from our church. And my challenge to you is this week, every day, pray for that kid by name. Put it somewhere that you'll remember, in your car, in your wallet, on your mirror, in your bathroom. I don't care where you need to put it, on the refrigerator. And I want you to pray for that kid by name. Maybe you don't know them. That's okay. You can still bring them to the Father and pray for them. Maybe you're like, I don't know what to pray. Well, here's what I pray for my kids every day. I pray, God, would you light their path so that they can see you? And would you reveal yourself to them so that they might know you and follow you? That simple. You could be simple. Just pray for them by name. Say their name in your prayer as you pray for them this week. My friends, yes, investing in the next generation is a responsibility, but it's not just a responsibility that we have as the church. It's actually a great privilege. We have the opportunity to leave a legacy of faith that will echo for eternity. I believe that the kid that you're praying for right now, the kids that you stop to and talk to, the kids that you mentor, the kids that you point to Jesus, I believe there will be a day in heaven that they walk up to you, they look you in the eye and say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for investing in me. You are making echoes for eternity when you invest in the next generation. So my friends, may we live lives that inspire, that teach, that point, and invite the next generation to live for Christ, live their lives for Jesus.